I was praying about some things and thinking, you know, since I got saved, I mean, I got saved at 7, but since I really started going after God 33 years ago, I have never, except maybe on vacation, maybe 5 times in my life, missed being in church at least twice a week, if not 3 times. Never. Hallelujah. And I had Lauren, and I went directly, I had Mitchell, and I went right from the hospital to a 5-day conference with Marilyn Hickey and didn't miss a single session. Wow. And I'm just saying, there needs to be hunger. And there needs to be people to break free from the spirit of lukewarmness that is coming over our church. Not our church, the church, but our culture. And you've got to wake yourself up out of that and say, Lord, I'm going to get hungry again. I'm not going to miss what he's doing in these last days. And, you know, the Bible says, don't forsake the fellowshipping together of the believers in the last days, which means there's going to be an attack in the last days to cause believers not to fellowship together and not to come together. And it's really happening. I'm just praying that whatever's trying to happen at Beauty for Ashes, the power of it gets broken. Amen?
Amen.
Because I've just never, ever seen anything like this before. And so I'm seeking the Lord, but I know that I'm going to the next place in him, and I'm excited by that. And he has been showing a bunch of stuff lately. So how many know we've been going through the shaking of all shakings? Amen. How many know it's actually been going on 2 years? And it's been the same shaking, and it's a real strong shaking of destroying witchcraft. And he's shaking everything that can be shaken. So if you're revisiting old trials and you're not winning, then I really strongly suggest that you quit going in that same circle and go to God and let him show you what's going on so you can start the victory. Amen. Amen. I mean, no, it's never too late for God to come in and rescue you. But you can sure make your life a lot harder by stretching it out a lot longer. Amen? So just say, Lord, I'm going to quit justifying. I'm going to quit making excuses. I'm going to quit anything. Just show me what you want to show me about who?
Me.
Me. Me. Amen. Just show me what you want to show me about me. Don't worry about everybody else. Amen? Let God take care of you and deal with what he wants to do within your heart. I was telling somebody, it's really cool when you know that there's still some classes coming up that he has for you before he's going to really send you into what he's called you to do. But it's even cooler when you're taking the class for a year and a half and you don't even know you're enrolled. And then you pass the final exam not even knowing you were in the class being prepared. Amen? Yes! So there's an excitement in my heart that God has taken me to the place of setting people free who have been completely crushed. It's time. If you're still going around the same wilderness, there's no new answer. There's no shortcut. The bottom line is just stop and let him deal with what you have not let him deal with. Amen. If your family's still a gigantic screwed up mess, then recognize it. Amen. Amen. Yes, my family is. And then you give it to God and let God do something in you. Amen. Because he's got lots to do in you. Right? He has lots to do in all of us. And when he begins to do that work in us, then we have something to pour out. Then we have something to train up others. So officially, even Tuesday nights, even as I teach this, you know I always teach this in a way for myself too, for God to change me and convict me of sin and change my heart. But we're really also going to really start ministering in a more powerful way how you can help other people see things. And I'm not doing that so you don't look at your own heart, because you don't have any business touching the splinter in anyone's eye until you get the log out. Amen? You have no business. You cannot minister in any area that you still have the log in your eye. How do you know if you have a log in your eye? It's way too personal to you. You're way too aggressive about it. You're way too defensive about it. You're way too judgmental about it. You're way too trying to protect yourself from dealing with the stupid log. Amen? How about we just say, okay, it's there. Now I'm going to do everything I've learned to do to get it removed by the word of God. His truth shall set me free, and the power of God to break this thing off and heal me. Amen? And then everything changes. And when I was in Uganda, I loved it. They took all the stuff I said, and their interpreter would make it, he would say it so much clearer than me. I'm like, geesh. I kind of like preaching there with an interpreter because I don't have to say it right. You know, I say it and then I see what he says, you know, and then and they all get it. And then they interpret back what he said and they're like, praise God, sister. We never, ever even heard before that God wants to change us before he'll change the circumstance. I thought, wow, that is a really good way to say what I just took an hour to say. You know. Amen. God wants to change you before he changes the circumstance. Okay, and let's face it. The enemy has set people up and people that you will be ministering to make them want to see you changed. And truthfully, you can even try to make that pretty, but I promise you what, if you really get in it from the Holy Spirit, he's going to show you something about you that you didn't know. Every time, even when you think you're doing it in a way that you did know. So when you're ministering to people, first of all, to really minister to people, especially in the area of healing the brokenhearted places, setting the captive free, opening the eyes of the blind, and kept setting people free from totally being crushed by the enemy. Every single time, you need to spend some time with God and look at the very issues that he has you to minister and the very issues he wants you to teach to someone else. You need to sit there and seriously spend some real time with God saying, do this in my heart. And I don't know about you, but I can talk for myself. It's amazing how much he can do that every day. Same topic, 20 years later, but a different depth and detail and a different, I call it, some of this is like God's finally got out the Q-tips in some area of my life, and he's just cleaning up the last little things in areas of my life. Amen? The anointing will be on your life to set people free to the degree that you let him set you free. And if he really sets you free, you fall in love with him, okay? It like goes together. It's like it goes together because you're so thankful for what he's doing. You're so grateful that he's changing your heart. You're so grateful he's turning things around for you, amen? You're so grateful that he's changing your heart. And in that place, you start getting amazed at who he is and how he does this. Is anybody else as amazed with God as I am right now? I am so amazed with God's faithfulness. I'm so amazed. Let me tell you guys, God has brought some very extreme situations into Beauty Frashes to train me. Amen. He really has. I mean, and he has brought some of the most painful situations and cases I've ever heard of in my life. And it's sad when some of them don't get it and they keep going back through the same thing. Sometimes, how many know, it seems like when you retake a test and you fail again, it's a bigger F. But I know God is big enough to rescue at any time that we will really finally hit the wall, so to speak, the wall of flesh, and say, God, change me. What is really going on here? Amen? And the bigger mess you allowed the enemy to bring you into, it may take a little bit more to get cleaned up. Amen? But how many know the process of hanging on to God and walking with God and seeing things changed is worth the process? You'll count it all joy. If it's really God and you're really letting him do his work, you'll count it all joy. And so, and it's real joy. It's not a fake joy. It's a real joy. It's a joy nobody can even understand. Lord help us. So, and learning to love like God loves. Wow. Can I just tell you, God loves us so much, it's just amazing. And you have to, if you've really been humbled at all, you have to say, how? How can you keep putting up with me? How can you keep loving me? How can he never give up on us? He never gives up on us because he knows who he is. And the reason you should never give up on yourself is because you know who he is. Amen? If you had to base it on who you are, you should have given up a long time ago. Amen? You mean, amen? But if you can base every single thing he's promised you, every single deliverance in the word, every single healing in the word, every single miracle in the word, if you base that on who he is, how can you ever believe that he's not big enough to do it? Does anybody think the enemy is bigger than your situation? Does anybody think that the enemy in your situation is bigger than the God of your situation? Think of it this way. God even created the enemy. You know, he fell. And he's trying to pervert every single thing God has ever come up with. He's just an imposter. But an imposter is nothing close to the Creator. It's not even in the same. Your situation is so extremely easy for God to fix. Is that making, is that good news to anybody? Some of you are really good at putting that to the test. How messed up can I get this? Amen. But how awesome is God? So today I wanted to begin teaching based on some of the things that I've walked through for the last year and a half and so excited about and what journey I went on, not even knowing I was on a journey to help people keep their sound minds. Amen. And to not be completely crushed and oppressed by the enemy. So I've been praying about situations where people would sin or lie or do something deceptive, and but they could never face it. Even when you kind of know, they have to know. They have to know they're lying. They have to know that they're being unfaithful. They have to know. Whatever it is, you know that they know. And yet there's no ability for some reason to be convicted of it and really change. So the word came to me, seared conscience. So it started me on the study of the word conscience. So I'm going to read all the different, get this in here. I'm going to read every place it talks about our conscience, okay? And it's funny, when the word conscience doesn't even come in the scriptures till New Testament. But in New Testament, we start hearing about it. So I'm just going to read through all these really quickly because it kind of gives you an idea of what the conscience is and the different avenues of the conscience, okay? So John 8:9. But hearing and being convicted by the conscience, they went out one by one, beginning from the older ones until the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the middle. Okay, so what are we talking about? We're talking about the woman who they caught in adultery. They brought in and they wanted to stone her. So they were about to stone her. They were about to kill her in self-righteous judgment, right? And hearing, and what did they hear? It's really amazing because they really didn't hear anything. They actually saw Jesus writing with his finger in the dirt. So something that Jesus was writing in the dirt personally towards them convicted their conscience. Okay, so every single person is born, these were not believers, right? These were people who were trying to set Jesus up, to be honest. Every single person is born with a conscience. John 8:3, the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman having been taken in adultery. And standing her there right in the middle, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was taken in the very act committing adultery," which means this woman does not have many clothes on and she has been completely humiliated and shamed. And we also notice that the man that was participating wasn't brought into the picture. "In the law, Moses commanded that such one should be stoned. You, what do you say?" Wow. You know, as we learn to minister, how many know we're going to need extreme wisdom from Holy Spirit? How many know that God's answer right here, he didn't get self-righteous, he wouldn't let them judge him, he didn't lie about truth, right? And he didn't come against what God had written in the books of the law, right? But God gave him this wisdom to go to the heart of the matter, amen? Wisdom always takes you to the heart of the matter. How many know we need wisdom? How many know to minister we need wisdom? How many know to help anyone we need wisdom? Amen? We need the love of God. We need to mature in the love of God. But we need the wisdom of God. And we need to take the time to stop and ask for wisdom. Jesus didn't just sprout that out. Because remember, Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing, and Jesus came and put himself in a human form with a human brain, and everything operated like it does in us, amen? But the key to Jesus' ministry is the very key that we get the minute Holy Spirit comes into us, amen? And that is that we now are connected to the Father through the Spirit, and we can hear God, amen? We can hear God. Now with us, we are connected through through the blood of Christ, through our relationship with Jesus, we're connected to the Spirit, and being connected to the Spirit, we can now have fellowship with the Father and the Son. Amen? We can go to the throne room, through the throne room of God, because we are connected because of the blood of Christ, and because he is our Lord, and because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because what he did is our Savior, we can now go into the very throne room of God because the Holy Spirit lives in us and he can take us right there. You talk about being able to be somewhere really quickly. If you learn who you are in Christ and what it means to be filled with the Spirit, you can be in the presence of God all the time. So Jesus knows this. He's walking in this, and he asks for wisdom. So here he is, and he says to them, so they're putting him on the spot. How many know if you're in ministry, even if you're a believer, period, the enemy is always going to try to use people, skepticism and cynicism and all this stuff to try to put you on the spot. Amen? How many would like to have the kind of answers that Jesus had when that happens? Okay, we're going to teach you how to do that, okay? And it's about stopping and getting everything out of the way that responds or closes down or hides, right? Getting all that out of the way, led by the Holy Spirit, being healed in those areas so that we can hear God and we never react, we only follow. They're trying to get Jesus to react. The enemy always tries to get you to react. Amen? How many know that? He always hits you. How do I react to this? I don't react to things anymore. And you actually have to train your flesh to do that, okay? In other words, your flesh will want to react. Paul, who walked with the Lord stronger than any of us, right? 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 Paul still said, I die daily. I choose today not to react. I choose today to be led. Now, how many know we do react? Yes. How many know the more mature you get, the less time between the provoking and the, oh, I'm not reacting. What do I do, God? What do I do, God? What do I do, God? If you want good relationships, if you would really learn to only be led by the Spirit of God, and there's a key in this that you really know, you get, let God get everything out of the way so you're really being led by God and not anything else. Amen? And then you're led by God and you're not, and how will you know? Because it's going to have the same kind of wisdom that Jesus walked in. It's going to have the same kind of fruitfulness that Jesus walked in. And so here is Jesus. He's not reacting to their trying to set him up. He's not yelling at them. He's not afraid. It says, and they said to him, Moses commanded that such a one should be stoned. Then what do you say? They said this to tempt him, that they could have a reason to accuse him. But bending down, I love this. Jesus is cooler than Clint Eastwood was ever in those movies, you know? You know, make my day. Here's Jesus. They're like, okay, stone. Basically, it's like, you either stone her or we're going to accuse you of not following the law of Moses. And truthfully, Jesus could say, look, folks, I wasn't even there. But he doesn't respond, he doesn't defend himself. And he just writes, how cool is this? He just writes in the sand. Okay, so he's bending down. Don't you just see him? Like, they're putting him on the spot. They're trying to provoke him. They're trying to get him to do. Either way he does this, they get to be aha, you know? And instead he's just like looking at him. Here she's standing there all naked and shamed and all this in front of him, and here he is. He just bends down and starts writing in the sand. He must have had better writing ability than some of you guys, because they could read it. So he says, and he didn't pay attention to them, appearing not to hear. Well, I know a lot of you guys would be really good with that. Amen. Some of us have got that one down to an art. Oh, hey, I've got some Jesus feature here. I grew up pretending not to hear. I grew up with this one. I know when to appear like I'm not hearing, all right? So I got part of this. We can work with that, right? But as he continued questioning him, he stands back up and he says, "The one among you without sin, let him cast the first stone at her." Now, this is kind of dangerous because there might actually be delusional people who would think they didn't have sin. So this isn't always the answer, right? Jesus knew that he had taken authority. We don't know that he took authority when he was writing. You know, we don't know for sure what he wrote. He could have been writing and taking authority over every murder spirit there. He could have been taking authority over every self-righteous spirit there. He could have been taking authority over every judgmental spirit there that would throw those stones. We don't know that, right? What we know is when he told them, "Whoever hasn't sinned, let him cast the first stone." And then he bends down again and he writes again. Now here's the part we want to get to. Hearing, they're convicted by their conscience. And they went out one by one, beginning from the older to the last. And Jesus was left with the woman. And remember, he tells her to go and sin no more. So that's really powerful to get to the whole story. But here's the thing. Jesus, the people did not have Holy Spirit in them yet, right? Holy Spirit wasn't inside of them. And yet, even before they were born again, even before somebody is born again, even if somebody is never born again, they are given by God, because we're made in his image, a conscience. They are given by God supernaturally a place inside of them to pretty much know right from wrong. Right? And so whatever was happening here, that place in them that knows right from wrong knew, was convicted. Holy Spirit was able to get through to that place and show them that what they were doing was wrong. Okay, let's look at some more. The next one, Acts 23:1 says, "And looking on the Sanhedrin, Paul said, 'Men, brothers, I in all good conscience have conducted myself towards God to this day.'" So what is he saying about our conscience here? He's saying, let's look up what that word means in the Strong's. The word conscience means perception, moral consciousness. So it's a perception of what is right and what is wrong. Okay, so it shows here when we're looking at conscience, then we've got to really let God make sure we have to let God heal us, especially the areas where we're blind, where we don't see correctly, right? The places where we've been wounded, we got to have healed, because all these places are going to determine how our conscience is working. Okay, and Paul is saying here, look, as far as I can tell, in all good conscience, I've conducted. In other words, he's saying here, you know what? I'm not convicted by anything that's going on here. So in good conscience, what I've said, I've done with the right heart. Let's see what he was talking about. I'm getting interested now. We are in Acts 22:30. And this is when he was arrested. And they want to flog Paul. And that's when he says, "Is it lawful to flog a man, a Roman, not found guilty?" And then they realize, oh my gosh, we have arrested a Roman. Okay. So that's when we go into the next part. And so he's saying to the Sanhedrin, there's nothing in my conscience that is telling me that I should have been arrested. There's nothing that I've done wrong. Okay. So I just want you to get this understanding of conscience, because it's really important, because there's different levels of walking in our conscience, and people who cross lines in their behavior begin to go from a pure conscience, a good conscience, there's an evil conscience, and then there's a seared conscience. I mean, these are the different levels of conscience when you look at these scriptures. Acts 24:16, "I exercise myself to have always a blameless conscience towards God and man." Acts 24. This is in the literal, okay? If you go to Acts 24:14, he's saying, "I confess this to you, that according to the way which is what they call the believers, which they say is a sect. So I worship the God, I worship the ancestral God, believing in all things according to that have been written in the law and the prophets, having hope towards God, which these themselves admit, of a resurrection being about to be of the dead, of the just and the unjust. And in this I exercise myself to have always a blameless conscience towards God and men. So write these things out. So there's a blameless, there's a good conscience, and there's a blameless conscience. Amen? There's a conscience that you feel is good. You feel as if I'm doing everything that God has taught me and shown me to do, so I can do this in good conscience. Now Paul's saying, I have a blameless conscience. God has dealt with the issues of my life where I had guilt and blame, and I've been purged and healed there, and I am blameless. Amen. I have a blameless conscience. Okay, let's see what other kind of conscience we got here. In Romans 2:15, it just talks about their conscience witnessing with them and the thoughts between one another accusing or even excusing. In a day when God judges the hidden things of men according to my gospel through Jesus Christ.